Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Okay. Vision. That's the vision of this of the church. Vision, prophetic, redemptive uncovering. You know, I was thinking about this week, and just came across my mind. A couple years ago, I was... Sometimes, you know, when Donita goes to work, I'll stand at the door inside the garage and wave by. So a lot of times Olivia will be with her, and, you know, we wave by, you know. And the door wouldn't work. Donita says, the door won't close. The garage door, the big garage door. She's pushing it, you know, it won't close. I'm pushing it, it won't close. You can hear the motor run, but the door's not working. So, I called. There was a number on the garage door where it was purchased. So I called them, and I talked to the guy. I said, you know, I said, the garage door won't open and close. He goes, have you changed your batteries in your openers and closers? I said, yeah, we 3-4 times. I said, okay. Now... He says, go to the railing and go to the bottom. He goes, there's an electric eye down there. He says, if that eye, that electric eye, electronic eye, is not lined up with the other side, he goes, are you on the right side or the left side? I said, well, I'm on the right side. And this is where my Harley is. I got a little man cave there. And so I work on it there and play around there a little bit. And so I hit that eye somehow, and I moved it. So here's what the problem was. It wasn't in alignment with the eye on the other side. He says, move that around, because there was even a mark on the railing to where that eye was to come around and be lined up with. And when I did that, I moved it around. Started working. And I said to him, when he called it electronic eye, I said, you mean they don't see eye to eye? He says, yeah, you can say that. Are you getting it? When we don't see eye to eye with God, things aren't going to work. When we begin to see things the way He does, and we see eye to eye, it starts working. That's vision. That's His goal, is to get you to see the way He sees. When you see yourself the way He sees you, you're no longer going to have a low self-esteem. A low self-esteem is why prisons are full. Low self-esteem is why divorces happen. A low value of yourself. You see, you know why? Because you always have to lie. You steal and you take from people. Because you're always trying to be something you're not. You're always trying to get admiration from somebody and try to make yourself look good. And it's counterfeit. Healthy people don't have to do that. They get respect. They get honor. They get unity. Their relationships connect. Are we making sense today? So it comes up and it starts to work. If you stay low in your value of who you are, you'll always get those results. You see, how you see yourself is what you bring into your life. The people that come to you and around you all the time, that's how you see yourself. You can look at your best friends, that's the way you see you. I've had people in my office get in relationships, husbands beating them over and over. End up in another one, same thing. Until they start to see the way God sees them, eye to eye with God, that's what they do. All right, let's pray. Oh, we're going to read the verse first. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Y'all all right? All right. Give me Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We ask, Lord, you continue to increase our understanding in this area. Lord, we need you desperately in this hour that we live in. Father, we need your help. We desperately need you. So, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit does a work in our hearts and reveals truth to us through revelation and understanding and a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. We ask for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, look what he says here. See, our goal is to understand this idea of authority. When we understand it, everything changes. Okay, now watch this. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Go back to verse 1, if you would, please. Let every soul be subject. The word subject means to be under the will of another. Under the will of another. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So now think about this. Authorities. There's a great book by John Bevere. I've read it several times, and I've given probably 30 of them away. It's called Undercover, and it talks about authority. But he really brings out this idea that there's civil authorities. You can order that in our bookstore, or you can order it anywhere. You can get it anywhere, but it's out there. So he breaks it down as civil authorities. What are civil authorities? Civil authorities is the President of the United States, Vice President, Senate, police, sheriffs, civil authorities. Then there are social authorities. Social authorities would be teachers, coaches, bosses at work. Those are social authorities. So then there's family authorities. That would be the man in the house. What? Wait. That's the man. The man is really to be the spiritual head of the home. Men are running from their responsibility because they've never seen it modeled. They've never witnessed. You know, Randy Moore has a group, life group, and he has like 10 men that he's doing a great job. They're learning how to be a man. You got to learn how to be a man. If you've never had it modeled, you got to work on that. So we're going to have another life group, help men become men. So in the family, but here it is. The wife is to submit also to the husband, and the husband is to submit to the man. When you submit to each other, come under the mission, so you're under God's mission. Now, you see, you're actually treating them like God. See that? When you do what God says, you're doing it to God, to each other. That ought to make you just get happy right there. So, family authorities. And then, so what is it? Civil authorities, social authorities, family authorities, church authorities. Watch this. He gave some, everybody say some, to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, mature man, or mature. Those gifts have been given to help us mature spiritually. Some. Not everybody's called to those. Some. See that? That's why your calling is you becoming you. You getting this? All right. So now, let's look at this. So, he says, when you resist authority, you bring judgment on yourself. That's why we shouldn't go around echoing problems from the media, what's going on in our government. The worst thing you can do is go around talking about all you're seeing in the government, because you're bringing those problems on you. If you want to talk to somebody about your problem, about what you're seeing in the government, talk to God about it. And he'll help you understand. You see, he established all those authorities. He put them there for a reason. Some of us need to learn some things. We need to learn how to love people that aren't lovable. He wants us to have lovability. That's an unconditional love. See that? We making sense? Now watch this. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. Now, this, Saul, remember last week we talked about Saul. Saul was a king. He was the first king after Judges. See, you have Joshua, Judges. Now, Judges, Joshua was taking the land. Joshua obeyed God. Now, Judges, the theme of Judges is, they have no king, and everyone was right in their own eyes. In other words, they didn't get their vision from God. They were doing their own thing. And so it was chaos and confusion. All kinds of debauchery and adultery and fornication and all kinds of stuff going on. Idol worship in Judges. Now the Israelites saw other nations prospering. In other nations, they saw castles, horses, chariots, all these things. They had a king. We want a king. If you read this, you'll see it. They said, we want a king. So, they get Samuel. God points Samuel. Samuel's not a king. Samuel is a prophet. So God appoints Samuel to anoint a king. Samuel's just a prophet. Everybody wants a king, so let's get one. Saul becomes the king. Saul, all right, now listen. Saul, in chapter 15 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, you can read it later, you find that Saul disobeyed God. You see that? He disobeyed God. And remember, he got jealous of David. That's what we talked about last week. Saul has slain 1,000 and David 10,000. And they were singing songs about it. And so Saul got jealous of David. And David wasn't even a king yet. But now I want you to listen to me. In 1 Samuel 15, he says, Samuel's telling Saul, because you rejected the word of the Lord and did not obey his voice, you're no longer going to be king. You can't be king anymore. Because he didn't want to obey. He didn't want to submit under God's authority. He says, I want you to go and anoint a new king. And, you know, Samuel's saying, okay, well, who's that going to be? Now think about this. Now listen to me. Because Saul didn't want to obey. Obedience to God's voice was all through history. Have you ever heard the word hermeneutics? Anybody? That's a word for you. And I'm a word nerd, but first time I heard it was in Bible school. Hermeneutics is a word that describes how we look and study the Bible. We need, our professors would say, we need a hermeneutical view. Now, here, let me explain this to you. A hermeneutical view is this. You see something that's repeated over and over. Now, because of that, you dig deeper into what's being repeated over and over. You go under it. You find out, what is it? Fear not, 300 and some times. Fear not. Well, you're not supposed to be afraid. Right? Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you. Oh. Over and over he said that. Well, he must be telling me the truth. See this? Over and over, from Genesis up to where Samuel was, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. But Saul didn't want to obey. He didn't want to obey. So he lost his position as king. Now, the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel's upset because he's mourning over Saul. He knew he appointed Saul to be king. Now God's saying, I want him out. You're going to be a new king. We need a new one. One's going to obey me. So he says, I want him out. He says, how long are you going to mourn? You know what? You're not supposed to mourn about problems. See that? God only told Moses to mourn 30 days. After 30 days, it's time to move on. See this? You're not supposed to dwell in the past. You're not supposed to dwell in how your parents treated you and what they did or didn't do for you. When you do that, you're missing out. God wants you to move on because he's got something for you. Well, you don't know. My dad just wasn't there for me. Okay. I got something for you. David said, where my father and mother have forsaken me, the Lord will take care of me. I need to go to God. You see that? So it really doesn't matter. He said, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. I know everything about you. That's why we need to get to know him. You seeing this? And so when we understand this, he said, I ordained you. In Jeremiah 1:5, he said, I knew you. I formed you, I ordained you, and I sanctified you. All that took place before you even showed up on the planet. It doesn't matter if you were left on a doorstep, 1 month old, somebody found you, God has a plan for you to take the promised land and become the best you can be. And only you and God can accomplish that. You can't get there without him. Oh, I can't help it. You see, that removes all excuses. You see, your responsibility, your response to everything in life is your responsibility. And that's what God has shown us. Now look. So, now, look what he says. How long will you mourn for Saul? Well, you know, I got divorced. And you know, you don't know, I just went through so much and my kids. It's time to get over it. It's time to move on. I want you to find out who you are. Because it's not going to be you and your spouse answering to God in heaven. It's going to be you. Not even going to be marriage in heaven. I believe in one man, one woman, forever. But you know, a lot of people don't understand what we're talking about today, so they'll jump ship before they're supposed to. You understand what I'm saying? Our prisons are full. Divorce is at its highest rate. Depression is at its highest rate. Suicide is at its highest rate. All of those are manifestations of not understanding what I'm talking about today. Now listen to me. Look what he says. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, no longer going to be king. Fill your horn with oil. Now he's telling Samuel, fill your horn with oil. We're getting ready to anoint a new king. There's going to be a new sheriff in town. They always did it through anointing. Anytime a priest, a prophet, or a king, they anointed him first. Now, what's anointing? Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means anointed one. See that? So when I'm in Christ, I'm anointed. You're anointed if you're in Christ. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. In Christ! See that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, when you're in him, now you're discovering who you are. And you're taking the land, the promised land. Listen, now think about this. In Isaiah 10:27, you can look that up later. It talks about being burdened and having yokes that are holding you in captivity. But now listen. But it says they are destroyed because of the anointing oil. Yokes. What's a yoke? A yoke is what they put around an oxen or a horse for when they did the work. But here he's talking about yokes that are holding you back from becoming you, from doing God's will. Bondages that are weighing you down and problems that are weighing you down and keeping you out of God's will. One of the meanings I found for anointed oil is yoke destroying, burden lifting, don't you like that? Now listen, some of you came in here with something today. It's already off of you. Something came off of you already. It's already working because there's an anointing in here. It's lifting things off of you. It's helping you so you can get to moving into God's will. I am sending you to Jesse's house, the Bethlehemite. Now watch. For I have provided myself a king among his sons. So now listen. Samuel goes to Jesse's house. And Jesse shows him all his sons. Seven sons. You know, they walk up and Samuel's looking at them. And they walk up, you know. I want to be the king, you know. Shoot. What? Not that one. It's me. Nope, not that one. Seven times he rejected every one of them. None of them are going to work. Is there any more? Yeah, there's one more. He's over in the field tending sheep. That's David. Then it says he's ruddy and handsome. Little and handsome. Redheaded. Ruddy means redheaded. You got red hair. It's okay. You read here, we're all right. What? So he's just a young kid. That's the one I want. That's him. He's the one. He's been tending sheep. Sheep need to be led. Cattle are driven. Sheep need to be led. You know what? Jesus calls us like sheep. We need to be led. He says, my sheep know my voice. We're like sheep. David was a shepherd. David was leading sheep. A bear came, tried to take one of the sheep out. He took it down. A lion came, pulled its beard, and whooped it. And he knew it wasn't his strength. He knew it wasn't his strength. It was God's strength. He was being trained for becoming a king. David is the one I want. So he comes, and he gets anointed to be king. Y'all with me? You glad you came to church? Go with me to 17 chapter and verse 24 through 26. Who did David fight? Goliath. Goliath. See, this is a battle called a representative battle. Nations would get their best person, and the other nation would get their best person, and they would come together for battle. It wasn't a man-to-man combat. It was one man for this nation, one man, and then they fight. And whoever won, that nation began to rule. David comes, and look at this. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They're all afraid. Saul was afraid. He's shaking in his boots. This guy, look, he's 9 feet. And he's, you know, he's in the corner scared to death. And all of Israel is afraid. And the Philistines are afraid of this guy. Everybody's afraid of him. Except, who? David. David didn't see him the way everybody else saw him. You know why? David had perception. He had insight of who he was. He looked at that giant, you ain't got nothing. You see, precept, concept, perception. What comes out now? Exception. And now, because of the exception, I participate in a reception. Joy. Life. See, because of what's coming out of me. Catching this? Now think about this. So, David sees this guy. He says he ain't got nothing. Nothing. He looks at Goliath, not afraid. Because no one else saw David saw. You know, there's a story of this young boy. He had just gotten contacts and his eyes, you know, because he needed glasses, but he didn't want to wear glasses. So he said, I want contacts. So he got contacts. So he's out playing in the dirt one day, and he comes running in the house. He says, Mommy, one of my contacts fell out. I can't find it. I've been looking for it for over an hour. I can't find my contact. She runs out the door and goes to right where he's playing in the dirt. She comes back, 2 minutes. He says, Mommy, how did you find that contact? I looked for it for over an hour. And you found it in 2 minutes. She said, Son, you were looking for a contact. I was looking for $300. Your perception.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com. or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.